Well, it's been said before, we just said it a few moments ago, the nation of Yemen, this morning the focus of global concerns about terrorism, has been defined as being the nation that is not Saudi Arabia there on the Arabian Peninsula. Yemen's neighbor to the north and west, Saudi Arabia, Yemen has never benefited from the fabulous oil wealth on the peninsula, long controlled by the Saudi royal family. Bitterness from the people of Yemen and even ethnic Yemenis inside Saudi Arabia has fueled insurgency there for decades. And one of al-Qaeda's original missions, Steve Erlanger of the New York Times pointed this out a moment ago, long before 9/11, al-Qaeda's mission was to bring down the royal family in Saudi Arabia. But what makes Yemen a terrorism hotspot, at least if you read the headlines this week? That's simple, says restaurant worker Ahmed Suleiman, a Yemeni from Brooklyn who talked about his home country yesterday.
Yemen's basically empty. You know, it has like 22 million people, but there's a lot of areas where you go miles and miles without seeing anybody. Nobody really pays attention to it. You know, it's in the Arabian Peninsula, but it's never really been heard of that much. It's a perfect place for terrorism.
Perfect place for terrorism. To discuss that is Steve Erlanger, who rejoins us. He's a reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and joins us for the from the Yemeni capital, Sana'a. And Charles Sennett is the executive editor for the Global Post. He's been on the program many times and joins us from Boston. Good morning, Charlie.
Morning, John.
Steve, let me continue that thread there. You know, not to equate, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations analysis of Yemen with a restaurant worker in Brooklyn, but in a sense, there's a certain amount of agreement that Yemen has some real difficulties, both geographically and ethnically, in resisting the kinds of instability that's resulted in the terrorist allegations that we're looking at this week.
That's absolutely true. I mean, basically, Yemen, people may remember, used to be two countries, North Yemen and South Yemen, one socialist, one not. The Saudis always played along the border with the loyalties of tribes. The Saudis promoted a kind of Salafist Islam in Yemen. They both fought together against what they considered a Shia rebellion in the northern Yemen near Sada. But at the same time, Yemen has very little oil and it's running out. The government is fragile. It has lost much of the territory outside the capital to tribal control. There are very few government authorities outside the main cities. So huge parts of Yemen are, as your restaurant worker said, essentially empty lands. Hmm. They're lands where dragons lie. They're places that have very little electricity, very little water, that's kind of Bedouin, but places where there's very little government authority and where al-Qaeda can take refuge.
Well, there's a great takeaway. Lands where dragons lie, Steve Erlanger, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Give us a sense of what people in Sana'a are making of these claims by the Yemeni government that they've killed two al-Qaeda militants. The U.S. Embassy, I understand, has reopened. What are people saying?
Well, there was definitely a specific threat. The American and British embassies closed together two days ago, and the little skirmish that happened yesterday was only about 25 miles north of the capital, and though no one is very clear about this, it seems that these people near Al-Harb were part of what was considered the direct threat to the capital. So after the skirmish, which after all didn't kill the main person they were after, but just bodyguards, people began to relax a bit, and the embassies are slowly opened. Nobody's been very clear about cause and effect, but that's what it seems like right now.
It's interesting. We can hear the midday call of the muezzin there in Sana'a. Steve Erlanger, Paris reporter for The New York Times, thanks so much for that latest update there from Yemen. Charlie Sennett, I remember your reporting right after 9/11 from Saudi Arabia near the Yemeni border, describing how ethnically it was so different and how the tensions politically and otherwise in that region and across the border were really long-standing. What do you think is going on today?
I think, you know, what we're seeing today is just what happens when you fail to manage a struggle against terrorism and you don't pay attention You allow places like Yemen to become the lands where dragons lie. And that is a beautiful phrase that Steve just made. But it is so true that that sort of untamed land of the Asir province in Saudi Arabia and then crossing over to the border to Yemen, that's where the bin Laden family is from. That is their bin Laden's father's ancestral home. That is a place where we haven't paid enough attention, and I think we're seeing that come back on us now. I don't know if you remember, you remember the Cole attack in 2000, but then in 2006 there was this big prison break where many of the suspects in the Cole bombing escaped, and presumably escaped with the help of some government officials. And that group that escaped is really what's considered this core that has reconstituted itself now as Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula.
Well, that's a great fact that you're reminding us there. And, you know, our restaurant worker who we referred to, who our producer Femi Oke talked with yesterday, also had some things to say about the Yemeni government. Listen to this, Charlie.
The Yemeni government is corrupt. That even society in Yemen is corrupt now. So maybe it's a good thing that this is happening. That's what people are saying. Maybe it's a way to clean things up.
Well, to paraphrase there, Ahmed Suleiman, a restaurant worker in Brooklyn, is this possibly coming to a head, and could that be a good thing for people who are cynical about the Yemeni government?
It's going to take a lot more commitment of resources, financial, military, and intelligence. Many more assets need to be brought to bear. You know, back in 2006, when those guys escaped, we gave $5 million in aid to Yemen for counterterrorism. We're now talking about doubling the $60 million that we give them currently to a little over $120 million. This is a drop in the bucket. This is not going to have any real serious impact, and particularly not with, as Steve's pointed out, and he has a really strong story today about how corrupt and unpredictable and fickle this government is. And I just feel like this is Yemen becomes one of those classic cases in point where if you don't pay attention to everything and every detail on the ground, you're going to create a place where Al-Qaeda can once again metastasize and grow. And it's going to require the Obama administration to really step up its game in counterterrorism globally if it's going to be effective.
Well, it seems like there are so many places in the world that might fit that description. Today, our focus, though, is Yemen. Charlie Sennett, thanks so much for that. Executive editor and founder of Global Post on the line from his home in Boston, Massachusetts.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.